For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, July the 6th, 1990. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker of the morning.
Let's give the Lord a big hand. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this precious day. We thank you, Lord, that there is a song in our hearts. Hallelujah. And you are that song. And Lord, as we approach the Word today, we ask the Holy Spirit to quicken us, to help us, to guide us, to lead us today, Lord, in this message. And Lord, we ask the people's hearts to be open. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's turn today to the book of Haggai. I want to tell Jack I really enjoyed that word last night. It was a precious word. How many enjoyed that? Amen. I haven't got in on too much teaching. I enjoyed Brother Moody's message yesterday. You know that soul tie, it's a strong thing, positive or negative. And that was really speaking to my heart yesterday afternoon. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to Haggai chapter 2. How many believe there's a greater glory coming? Praise the Lord. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 6. Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations. I may believe he's shaking America, as well as the other nations. And I don't think we've seen the shaking yet, do you, brethren? And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. God speaking. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. So in these scriptures, we see that there is a shaking coming. We see that God said that he's going to fill this house with his glory. Hallelujah. How many want more of the glory of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, how many believe it's going to take a lot of repentance on our part and seeking God to be ready for the glory, amen, that's coming, more the greater glory that's coming. He said, the silver and the gold is mine, and that's not on the natural but in the spirit. Then he said, the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former, and in this place, he said, I will give peace. Praise the Lord. Now, how many know that Jesus walked into a natural temple one day?
Yeah.
The Bible said that he would come suddenly to his temple in Malachi. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we know that Jesus walked in suddenly with a little rope in his hand, and he cleaned the temple out. He cleaned the temple out probably two times, one in the beginning of his ministry and one towards the end, but he cleaned the temple out. Because he said, the zeal of the Lord has eaten me up. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus walking into that temple, how many believe that he was the greater one in that temple? Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He was the first temple, but he was the greatest temple. And he walked into the natural temple. And in Matthew 12, let's turn there. I want to give you a scripture here with this and what he said, if I can find it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 6. Verse 6, and Jesus said, we'll go back to verse 5, or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Hallelujah. Jesus said that there in this place there's one greater than the temple. Did you hear that? Now the Bible said in Haggai that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, right? And Jesus walks right in the temple here, and he said, the greater one is in this temple. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so he said, the scripture said he'll come suddenly to his temple. So he walks in the temple, he cleans the temple out, and we know at Pentecost, suddenly, there also came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house. Praise the Lord. But how many believe we're coming to midnight? And at midnight, I believe his fullness will descend into his sons. Hallelujah. Into his people. He will have a people raised up at midnight or the tribulation time, whatever you want to call it. And that glory, that greater glory, is coming in to his people. I believe that. Praise the Lord. Now, I said that he walked in the natural temple, cleaned the temple out. And I said that the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost suddenly. And then, at Pentecost, yes. But how many know there was one feast, that they used leaven with, and that was Pentecost. You ever read that in Leviticus 23? How many believe that leaven is a type of sin as well?
Yeah.
Now, I know the kingdom, you know, the way it comes forth is like leaven, you know, but also leaven speaks of sin and malice and guile and so forth. But what I'm trying to say is before this greater glory comes, hear me now, God has got to clean up the churches. Amen? Got to clean up us, the Pentecostal, charismatic, full gospel people. Can you say amen? He's got to get the leaven out. Before we enter tabernacles, leaven has to leave the Pentecostal ranks, I'm saying this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen? All right, now, let's look at some other things here. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 43. Ezekiel 43. Let's look at this glory here a little bit. Ezekiel chapter 43. And look at verse 1. The Bible said, afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh towards the east. How many know the east was where Judah was camped? Right before the tabernacle.
Yeah.
Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah, didn't he? You believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. And Judah represents and means praise. Now, he said that this gate looked towards the east, verse 2, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. Now, how many know there's a difference in the glory of God and the God of glory? Now, we thank God for the glory of God, but I thank God for also the God of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know the temple had his glory, but heaven is his dwelling place. Amen. Now, it says here in verse 2, behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice. Now, here's a prophetic word as well. How many believe this is, know this is in Revelation 14. His voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Hallelujah. How many believe this earth better shine a little bit? We're not just looking out there on the ground. This earth has got to shine with the glory of God. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus said, let your light so shine, come on, help me, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. How many want to shine today?
Amen.
The Bible said, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And it not only said that, but the Bible said that actually when that glory comes upon God's people, that it shall be seen. Amen?
Yeah.
In Isaiah 60. Praise the Lord. It's one thing to have the glory. It's another thing for that glory to come out and people see it upon a people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so in verse 2, he said in this verse that his voice was like the noise of many waters. And that speaks of his body, doesn't it? That speaks of a people. And the earth shined with his glory. Now look in verse 4. Look in verse 4. It said, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So first of all, there's a shining upon the earth. Now the glory begins to enter into the house of the Lord. How many know we're the house of the Lord?
Yeah.
We're not talking about a building today. We're talking about you and me. Then we look in verse 5. Look in verse 5. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord did something. Filled the house. He entered the house. Now he's filling the house. with His glory. I believe God is filling His temple, amen, with His presence and with His glory. Then look in verse 6. And I heard Him speaking unto me out of the house, and the men stood by me. Now notice what He's doing now. He's speaking out of the house, out of you, and out of me. Then in verse 7, He said to me, Son of man, the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. So He's putting His throne in the midst of His people. Can you say amen? And my holy name and the house of Israel shall no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredoms and by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. How many know there's a lot of kings? How many know there are religious kings as well as political kings? Isn't that right? A lot of religious kings. And so He said He's going to put His throne in the midst of His people. And when He does, He said that His people was no more going to be defiled and have their whoredoms. And He said the carcasses of the kings will be no longer in the high places. I want to tell you, when the glory comes in, how many know that He must receive the glory? He must be honored. We must bow in reverence to Him and not to a man or to a system. Praise the Lord. Then look in verse 9. It said, Now let them put away their whoredoms and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them. When? Forever. Notice that. Then verse 10. Notice verse 10. Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel. I know people look at this different, but how many know Jesus was the first house? How many know He was the first house that we need to see? I know there's Israel and I know there's the church, but how many know He's the house? Show the house to the house. So show Jesus to the church. How many know unless we see Jesus, we won't see ourselves. Amen? Let's look at this in the Song of Solomon. Turn over there to chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Chapter 1 of the Song of Solomon. And look at, we'll start with verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. It said, The song of songs. The song of songs, which is Solomon. Now, Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. But he said, this is the song of all the songs. I mean, oh, there's always some special song in your heart compared to all the others you like. Isn't that right? And so this song stood out among all the songs that he wrote. Then verse 2, notice what it says. It said, let him kiss me. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. How many believe that he initiates the kiss? Number 2, how many know that you kiss somebody that you love? And when you're kissing somebody, it's face to face, eye to eye, and you usually embrace somebody. Amen? How many believe the Lord's embracing His people?
Hallelujah.
He's kissing His people, brethren. How does He kiss us? Well, in these meetings we're being kissed by the word that's coming forth, the worship, the prophetic word, God, the healings, the deliverances. God is kissing His people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And kissing represents an intimacy. And so the Lord is initiating the kiss. So He said, and notice what it said, let Him kiss. You have something to say about it. I mean, oh, we can say, Lord, come on in, or we can push Him away. Isn't that right? Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Praise the Lord. For Thy love is better than wine. How many know that wine on the day of Pentecost was poured out the new wine? Wine represents the Holy Spirit. But how many know we've all received the earnest of the inheritance? Isn't that right? And there's a fullness coming. And He said, love is greater than wine. How many believe the Holy of Holies is greater than the holy place? The ultimate goal is to bring us into the full love of God. Can you say amen? And I don't believe any of us will be in the man-child, the sons of God that Jack was talking about last night, unless we have a revelation, birth, not only revelation, but that birthed in us, which is the love of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now look at verse 3. He said, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name or nature is an ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. Now, we know that He's got some wise virgins and He's got some foolish virgins. Amen? And the wise virgin had oil in their lamp, which is their spirit, and in their vessel, which is their soul. So, which means at midnight, Christ had overshadowed their soul. They have the mind of Christ, and they're waiting for the wedding feast. Praise the Lord. How many believe that the first fruits are going into a wedding feast? I'm not talking about being raptured now. but I'm talking about an intimacy with Jesus right here on the earth. Remember in Matthew 22, there was a man, there was a wedding feast, and then Jesus comes in and he sees a man without this wedding garment on. He said, take him, bind him, and throw him out in the outer darkness. How many know he wasn't thrown out of heaven? The wedding feast was here on the earth. Hallelujah. I don't believe you'd take somebody to heaven and throw them out of heaven, do you? No, not at all. Now look at verse 4. He said something here. Draw me. Now look at this. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Hallelujah. Now the draw me speaks of our prayer. Draw me speaks of consecration. Then he says, she said, we will run after thee. That's, let me say it this way again. The prayer is to draw me. The consecration is we will run after thee. Now, the result is the king has brought me into his what? Into his chambers. Notice that. But who is the drawing? What's he saying here? Draw me. Draw me. Do you ever pray that way? Lord, draw me. And we will run. The we there speaks first of all our spirit, our soul, and our body. But if I'm affected, how many know it affects somebody else as well? Now, draw me, she says, we will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Verse 5. Now notice what this little maiden is saying here in verse 5. Hallelujah. She said, I am black, and I don't believe that's in the natural. She's seeing her inner life, her inner nature, the beast nature, I should say, within her. I am black, but also beautiful, comely. She's seeing two natures there. Hallelujah. So when the king begins to kiss us, and when the king begins to draw us, and we begin to run into him, then we begin to see our nature, don't we? We begin to see the blackness, and we see the beauty as well. He says, the Bible here says, verse 6, look not upon me, because I am, come on, black, because the sun, the S-U-N, I may believe the S-U-N is arising with healing, come on, in his wings, amen? He has looked upon me, and my mother's children were angry with me. How many know that when you begin to break with a religious system, they get angry? When you begin to get a revelation of Jesus, and you're being drawn by the Lord, and you begin to see actually what you've been in, then the mother's children here are getting angry. The religious systems hate the move of the Spirit. Can you say amen? They hate it, brethren. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me, notice that, they made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard, she said, my own vineyard have I not kept. How many believe we get so busy in religion and religiosity that we don't have a relationship with Jesus? Amen. And so now she's seeing through all of that, and she's feeling the anger from the religious people, we would say. Verse 7, tell me, O thou, whom my soul loveth, praise God, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. And noon is when the sun is hot, it's straight up, and it's bright. Now she's asking this question. Here. Where is your flock? Hallelujah. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of the companions? How many believe that some people don't really want to get with the body of Christ? But it's a dangerous position to stay away from the body. Can you say amen? If you want to see Jesus, if you want to find Jesus, you'll find him in the body. Can you say amen? But listen to what, look at what he says in verse 8. If thou know not, which means you should know, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I mean, believe the Lord's going to lead us to some shepherd's tents. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that. Praise God. I believe he'll do it. Yes, sir. Amen. So, let's go back to Ezekiel now. Ezekiel 43. And he tells us here in verse 10 that we got to show the house to the house. Now, he said in verse 10, if you show the house to the house, he said that they may be ashamed of their iniquity. So when you begin to see Jesus, and I begin to see Jesus, how many believe there's going to be some repenting? We try to work repentance up. It doesn't work. How many believe God can work it in, though, as you see him and as I see him? Then he said that they're to be ashamed of their iniquities and let them measure the pattern. How many believe Jesus is the pattern today to us? And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, notice, if they be ashamed of all they have done, then he said, show them the form of the house. I believe that's the blueprint, the pattern, the government of the house. Praise the Lord. And then you'll notice in verse 12, he said, this is the law of the house upon the top whereof the mountain. How many believe the Lord's establishing his people in the top of the mountain? Amen. Not on the bottom, not halfway up, but on top, Sister Mildred. Amen. And then he said, this is the law of the house. What's this? Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be what? Most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Praise God. So God is filling his house with glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, in the New Testament one time, Jesus said, my Father's house, speaking of the temple he walked in, he said, my Father's house. Then he said, my house. But when Israel, God's people, rejected Jesus, he walked down and he said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Remember that? My Father's house, my house, but your house. Your house is when he walked out of it. Now let's turn over to Matthew 17. Praise the Lord. Matthew 17. How many believe we've been justified? We're in the process of being sanctified, and yet he's going to glorify a people, isn't he? In him. He's bringing many sons, Brother Golden, to glory. To the glory of the living God. Praise the Lord. Now, in chapter 17 of Matthew, we have the story of the transfiguration here. Now, look in verse 1. It said, after 6 days. But what comes after six? Seven. After 6 days, or the seventh day, which is what we're coming to, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Praise the Lord. So it's after 6 days, which means we're approaching the seventh day here. How many believe we're coming to the seventh day from Adam? Or the third day from Jesus, 3,000 years from Jesus. And you know, it said after 6 days. You know, there's 24 hours a day in a 24-hour period. There's 24 hours. And there's 6 days, and 6 times 24 is 144. How many believe he's raising up 144,000? Amen? And so after 6 days, we're approaching the seventh day. Then look in Luke 9. It says something just a little different here. Luke 9 and verse 28. It came to pass about an 8 days. Well, what's about eight? Seven. The scripture is true. It's after six and it's about eight. It's the seventh day. Do you see that? Then look in Luke 9:29. Let's see something else with this transfiguration while we're here. Luke 9:29. Hope you got a lot of fingers. Luke 9:29, and listen to what it says here. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. How many believe that Jesus, the change came while he prayed? How's it going to come for you and me? As we pray, you want to be changed into his image, into his likeness, you and I have to pray. Can you say amen? We got to get some neology before we get theology. Amen? Hallelujah. If you want to be changed into his likeness, if I want to be changed, we have got to learn to pray as Jesus did. Then back in Matthew 17, look at verse 9. Notice something else here with this transfiguration. 17:9. Hallelujah. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. So notice, this whole experience was a vision that they actually seen. Tell the vision to no man. Praise God. Now let me take you into some scriptures with this. Turn to Luke 9 again. Luke 9:27. And the Bible said, Jesus said, but I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. How many know when you're dealing with a kingdom, you're dealing with power? Amen? Oh, yes. And so he said there'll be some standing here that will not die until they see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. How many believe there's a people today that won't die until they see the kingdom of God? Come on now. And where is that kingdom? It's in us. The Lord is the kingdom, yet he's going to set his kingdom up as well. Now, verse 28. It shall come to pass about 8 days after these things, he took Peter, James, and John, notice now, and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared where? In glory. Who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. That would be his death. Now, let's look at another scripture. Hang on now. Go to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 9. And notice what it says. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory. Come on now. And honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death. Come on, for every man. Now, when did Jesus receive glory and honor? At the Mount of Transfiguration. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1. Tells us here. This was before the cross. 2 Peter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power. Notice the word power. That represents the kingdom. And the coming of the parousia, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But were eyewitnesses, hallelujah, of his majesty. For he received from God the Father, here it is now, honor and glory. When did he receive that? On the Mount of Transfiguration, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Glory. Now listen to verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Glory. So he received honor, he received glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now look at Exodus 28. Look in Exodus 28 and verse 2 and 3, I think it is. Exodus 28, verse 2. Now we see here, linked with that phrase, glory and honor. Oh, it's just a little different here, but it's linked with the high priest's garment. How many believe Jesus is the high priest today? Exodus 28, 2. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory, come on, and for beauty. Hallelujah. Amen. And so thou shalt speak to all the wise heart and so forth. So the glory and the honor that came from God the Father also speaks of the garment of the high priest. Hallelujah. How many believe that there was so much glory in Jesus that it came out and clothed him? Hallelujah, on the outside. Amen. Amen. He was wearing the holy garment, wasn't he?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, look in St. John. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about the transfiguration. John does not go into detail, but he alludes to it in John chapter 1. Let's turn and look at it. John chapter 1. And verse 14. John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacle among us. And we beheld, come on, his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice John said, we. That's Peter, James, and John. We beheld, hallelujah, his glory. When did he behold that glory? On the Mount of Transfiguration. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, how many know the high priest, going back to the high priest and the garments? You know, when the high priest would be clothed, there was only three things you could see. You saw his face, you saw his hands, and you could see his feet. That speaks of words, because how many know out of the mouth comes words? That speaks of work, and that speaks of your walk life. Look in Psalms 15. Psalms 15, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. 15:1. Notice the scripture, brethren. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? How many know that's Zion?
Amen.
Verse 2. Here it is. Here's the one that can. He that walketh uprightly, and notice he starts from the feet up, and worketh righteousness, that's the hand, and speaketh, that's the words of the mouth, the truth in his heart. So there is a walking, there is a working, and there is a speaking. Amen? So it's words, it is work, it is walk. Hallelujah. And so Jesus was clothed with a garment, hallelujah, of the high priest. Thank you, Jesus. And it said that Moses and Elijah appeared with him there. And we know that Moses represents the law, the word. Elijah represents the spirit or the prophets. So he had the word and the spirit there with him. Praise God. Representing those two. But how many know that the Father is the Spirit? Come on, help me now. And Jesus is the Word. How many believe He's raising up two witnesses in this hour? And within the two witnesses, it will be the Father, come on, and the Son. Amen. The Word and the Spirit. Of course, the Holy Ghost is in there too. Now, the Bible said that He takes three up to the Mount of Transfiguration. This speaks of a remnant. I mean, no, there were nine at the bottom of the mount trying to cast a demon out and couldn't do it. Amen? Isn't that right? There were three on top of the mount and nine at the bottom. Well, I'd rather be on top than on the bottom, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. But the Bible, and you know the thing is, this transfiguration did not take place in the city of Jerusalem. It didn't take place out in His meetings. It took place on a mountaintop. I mean, the mountain speaks of a high place. Now, the Bible said that He led these three up. The Scripture said that He took them up, and the Scripture said He brought them up, or He did bring them forth to the mountaintop. Praise the Lord. And we know that He was transfigured. Now, how many know the word transfigured means to be changed or transformed? Isn't that right? It's the word metamorpho, which means where we get the word metamorphosis from. Now, let's look at this. In Romans 12, I know you know these, but let's look at them. We need to go in and look at some of these scriptures. Romans 12. How many want to be transfigured, brethren? You want to be changed? You want to be transformed? Hallelujah. In chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How many know there's three sacrifices in the New Testament, basically? That's giving of your body, giving praise to the Lord, and giving of your substance. Can you say amen? Then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed or changed or transfigured by, how's it going to happen? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove something. What is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. How many know we cannot know the perfect will of God unless our mind is being changed? Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so Jesus is transfiguring, He's changing, transforming people into His image. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. I want to also go back and say something about that high priest garment just a minute. How many know that a high priest could not rend his garment? If he did, it was death. And when Jesus, before Jesus went to the cross, you remember Caiaphas, he took his garment and rent it. You remember that? You know what that was a sign of? That was a sign that God was through with the old order. He was through with it. Hallelujah. But a high priest could not rend his garment. But that high priest rent his garment, and it's a sign to us, hallelujah, that God was through with the old order. Amen. I mean, know that Samuel walked one time up by Saul, and Saul reached out and took his skirt and tore it. Remember that? And that was a picture also that God was through with His kingdom, with Saul, that God was raising up a David, like Brother Jack talked about last night. Amen. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. And it says, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his, face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil, look at this, is upon their heart. So the veil speaks of a hardness of the heart. They were not open to truth. How many believe our hearts can stop us from entering truth? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, this glory on Moses, how many know it speaks of a temporal thing? It was an outward part of him. It wasn't in him. It was a physical thing only. It came up on him. But how many know the glory on Jesus was not only upon him, but it was in him? It came from within to without. Here Moses had lived in the presence of God and was upon his physical, upon his face. And so he put the veil upon him in order, because the people begin to complain. Now look at verse 16. Nevertheless, it says, and watch this, scriptures here. Praise the Lord. Nevertheless, it says, when it shall turn to the Lord, that's the heart or Israel, the veil shall be what? Taken away. Now the Lord is, come on, help me, that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, let's everybody say that, but we all, with an open face, and that word open means unveiled, not veil, but unveiled. The word open means unveiled. So there's an unveiled thing going on here. How many know a woman in the East wears a veil, isn't that right? And you can't tell who she is until the veil's removed. And of course the veil was on Moses' face, but here, in the scripture where we're reading in verse 17, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, but we all, with an open face or an unveiled face. I mean, no, we're not hiding anything. Huh? With an open face, beholding. That word beholding means reflecting. We're beholding or reflecting as in a glass or a mirror. The word glass means mirror. So, we're reflecting as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. How many know we're reflectors? We're reflectors. Glory to God. We've got to dwell in the presence of the Lord to, in order to activate and transmit that glory as well. Now look at verse 17. Let's read the 17 again. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Hallelujah. But how many know it's a process? Amen? I said it's a process. You're not going to get there overnight. Or change into the same image. That word change is the same word. Transform, transfigured. Into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit, come on, of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're being changed. Now look in Acts 6, just a minute. Acts 6. Look at verse 15. Here's a man named Stephen. All that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face, come on, of an angel. And you trace that to Daniel 10:5-6, and I believe you see the Lord there. He sees the angel, the one that represents the Lord, and his face was like lightning. Praise God. I may believe that Stephen has some of that glory in him too, as well as upon him. Amen? Praise God. Then go to Mark 9. Mark 9, verse 3. Let's look at some scriptures here. In verse 3 it says, concerning this transfiguration, it says, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Everybody see that? Raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so no fuller on earth can white them. Somebody said it this way. He was like snow in an unclean earth. But it speaks of purity, and it speaks of righteousness. Now look in Matthew 13. Let's look at the sons of God a minute concerning this transfiguration. Matthew 13:38. Praise you, Lord. Matthew 13, 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children, the word children, sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons, come on, of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world or this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend in them which do iniquity, verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as what? How many know Jesus' face shone as the sun? And right here, the sons of God, brethren, it says, calls them the righteous, but they're the sons, shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. What am I saying? I believe the sons will have the same experience Jesus had. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I may believe the same glory that was in our Lord is in us now. But we just don't have as much as he had. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many want more of that glory? Amen. Well, I believe he's bringing us to it. Praise the Lord. Now turn over in just a minute to some of the scriptures we want to give to you. But the Bible said his raiment was shining exceedingly white as snow. And then it says it was white and glistering. And then it says it was white as the light. We need more of the light, don't we? We need more of Jesus. He's the light. And yet he said we're the light, but we need more of him. Turn to Revelation 3 now. Thank you, Lord. Revelation chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 1. We're going to read several verses here. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, come on now, and are dead. They were living on a past reputation. They were thinking they were living. They had a name, but Jesus said, you're not living. You got a name, but you're not living. You're dead. I mean, no, that's pure deception. Amen. Verse 2. Be watchful. What does it mean to watch? It means to wake up, doesn't it? Be alert. Be on guard, whatever. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. You can watch a church die. You can watch a prayer group die. You can watch your family die. We can change it if we pray. We can break the chains of darkness off of people by our prayers. Come on now. And especially off of us. Amen. So he said here to us, I have not found thy works before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Notice that. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee, church, not the world, but the church, as a thief, which means the time, and thou shalt not know or realize what hour I will come upon thee. I may believe that's a surprise. Next verse. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. Jack quoted it last night. Many are called. Come on, help me. You're chosen. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, right in this church, which have not defiled or soiled their garments. There's a few of you that have clean garments on. There's a few of you that doesn't have dirty garments on. There's a few of you that's putting on righteousness. There's a few of you that's walking in purity. Can you say amen? And holiness before the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I may believe again it's a remnant. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me, come on, in white. For they are, come on, worthy. You can't put everybody in that same class. We know we're all saved by the blood. Thank God for that. But to be made worthy, that's the overcoming realm, isn't it, brethren? So these are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, the ones that shall walk with him in white are those who do not live to do their will, but they live to do his will.
Yeah.
And he said, they'll walk with me in white. They are the overcomers. They're those that are worthy. He said they will be clothed in the white raiment. There's just a few of them, a remnant, because they are watching. And they will not be blotted out of the book of life. There's no danger of that. And he said, I will confess them before my Father and angels and my angels because they've actually confessed me. They're not ashamed of me. Say it another way. They'll have a glorified body. Amen. A body full, come on, of light. And it shall be fashioned, hallelujah, like unto his glorious body. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. Now, how many know there's another man in the Old Testament? His name is Joseph. He had some half-brothers. And they stripped him and put him in the pit. Remember that? How many believe you got some half-brothers to throw you in the pit? I'd be glad of it, Jack. Then there was a woman that tried to strip him of his purity. And he ran out of the house and left his garment behind. Remember that? And she lied on him. Huh? He left it. He sure did. There is a harlot that wants to strip you, you that are in the holy place. It wants to strip you of your purity. And then the third change was when he came out of prison, he shaved and put on, took off his prison garments, put other garments on. So he was stripped three times. And then he took the throne. But when he took the throne, the Bible said he was given seven things. I want to tell you those seven things real quick. Number one, he was given vestures of linen. Linen speaks of the overcomer. He was given vestures of linen. So he was given a new wardrobe. Amen? He was given a proclamation that he was going to be ruler, that is second in command, under Pharaoh. He was going to be ruler. And the third thing that he was given a ring, which represents authority. I mean, believe God's bringing authority and giving authority to his people in this hour. Now, we can't have authority unless we're submitted to authority. Can you say amen? We can't govern unless we're governed. We can't rule unless we're ruled. And those that are in authority will recognize it and submit to it. I believe that. How many believe that? Then the fourth thing he was given a gold chain to put around his neck, his will. How many know that God wants to put a gold chain around our neck? Our wills. He wants our wills submitted. Can you say amen? Number five, he was given not a Cadillac or some big fancy car. He's given a chariot. Because that was a big thing in his day. He had a chariot. Number six, he was given a wife. I mean, no, that was an Egyptian wife. And number seven, he was given a new name. He was given a new name. Now, let's look in Acts 15 a minute. I believe it's 14, I think it is. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 15, rather. Acts chapter 15. Thank you, Lord. Verse 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them, out of the Gentiles, a people for his name. Joseph married an Egyptian. How many know Joseph is a type of Christ as well as the sons of God? And so here Peter said, out of the Gentiles, the nations, the heathen, the Lord is going to take out of that a people for his name. Amen? Praise God. Now, how many believe the change must come into you and me now? The transfiguration. And we quote the scripture, you know, that we'll all be changed in a moment. Come on. In the twinkling of an eye. At what? The last trump. How many trumpets are there? Seven. So the seventh trumpet is going to bring a change. Isn't that right? I mean, know that if a man is playing a trumpet, a natural trumpet up here, he starts, and then there's an interval in between, and then there's a consummation. Well, I may believe there's some trumpets have already started, been blowing. And of course, there's an interval in between here. And then, you know, we're coming to the seventh trumpet or the last trumpet. But how many know it says in Revelation 10:7, if you'll turn there with me, it says something a little different than most people think. 10:7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Now notice, not in 5 minutes, not in 1 day or 2 days, in the days. So the seventh trumpet is blowing many days. Amen? Now if the seventh trumpet is blowing, does that mean the other six are still blowing too? Sure. And that means when we come up to the seventh, that means it's a longer sound and it's a louder sound, isn't it? Trumpet's louder than one? Sure it is. And so we see this. It's a longer sound. It's a louder sound. And yet he says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. Notice, begin, not consummation here. But when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God. How many know there's different mysteries? Christ in us, the hope of glory. The kingdom is a mystery. There's other mysteries. The mystery of the church, Paul talks about. But he said when he shall begin the mystery of God, God's a spirit, isn't he? The mystery of the spirit should be what? Finished as he has heard to his servant, come on, the prophets. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to bring a consummation, don't you? And he's wanting to raise a people up in order to do that. The Lord. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying we're changed from glory to glory. Now, the teaching today is you get saved today and you can be raptured tomorrow. How many know that is not true? That is not true. This change placed within. Before we can be changed without, we have to be changed within. Can you say amen? And it's a process. Amen. It is a process. We know that there is a conception, there is a growth, there is maturity, and then there is the birthing, isn't there? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But I believe the Lord is wanting to do the impossible. Praise the Lord. In you and me. I believe he wants to bring a change into us. Thank you, Jesus. One other scripture, 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look at this real quick together. I believe there's three groanings today. There is the groaning of creation. Number one, this is Romans 8. Number two, there is the groaning within ourselves. How many believe there's a groan at the throne? Within you and within me. And three, there is a groan of the Holy Spirit. Of course, that groan in us is the Holy Spirit too. But there is creation groaning, we're groaning, the Holy Ghost is groaning. Now, here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, Paul said, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands. How many know father and mother had something to do with this house? Of course, God had the ultimate say, but God, the mother and father had something to do with this house. But he said, here we have a building of God, a house that's not made with the hands of man, but it's eternal in the heavens. For in this, he said, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. How many is wanting a new house? How many know this house is getting wore out? Huh? It's not a bad confession. From the time you start living, how many know it starts wearing out? But thank God, he wants to give us a new house, a new home. And I believe he's going to do it, don't you? And notice what he said here. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon. I mean, oh, this mortality must be swallowed up by immortality. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Just like putting an overcoat on a coat. You got a coat on, you put something over that coat. Immortality is going to swallow mortality up, isn't it? Yeah. Life's going to swallow up death. Hallelujah. Amen. Not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that it mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the same self thing, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Praise God. So the Lord is wanting to clothe us today, doesn't he? Isn't that right? He's wanting to give us a new garment. Hallelujah. The garment of light, the garment of his glory. And as Jesus experienced that glory, not only within, but without, I believe the time is coming, as I said a while ago, that people will see sometime, and I believe it's in the future, hallelujah, closely, they'll see the glory coming out of a people, on a people. They'll actually behold the glory of the living God. Praise the Lord. Anybody a candidate? Hallelujah. Let's stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Let's praise him for his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Pour out your glory, Lord. Pour out your anointing, God. Hallelujah. Do a work in your people, Lord. Minister to us. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let that glory come, Lord. Let that glory cloud overshadow us, Lord. Let the holy presence of Jesus come upon us in this hour, Lord. And within us, Lord, we pray. Deliver us and set us free, Lord, that we can have more of that glory. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. For as my spirit did move Samson of old, know that I shall move thee in this hour, saith the Lord. And I shall quicken your hearts and your minds, saith the Lord thy God. Dwell in the midst of my people, saith the Lord. And I do sound forth my message, my trumpets in this hour. And yea, there is a people arising that shall hearken to the voice of the Lord. There is a people that shall hear the drum beat of the Holy Ghost, and they shall march according to my will. And at my beckoning, at my command, saith the Lord thy God. Humbly before the Lord, and as you go down before the Lord, then I shall raise thee up in this hour. For truly I bring forth an anointed people, I bring forth a holy people, I bring forth a people that's after my name, saith the Lord thy God. So walk thou after me and not another. Yea, set thine eye upon the Lord and not another. For I am the Lord thy God that dwells in the midst of thee. Yea, I shall take pride out of thy heart in this hour. And I shall cause the arrogant one to leave, saith the Lord. And I shall put my spirit, my glory, and my power within thee. And I shall charge thee with a charge, yea, from my spirit. And thou shalt walk humbly before me and open before me. For I, the Lord, do watch thee. Yea, my ears is open to thy cry. My eyes over thee, saith the Lord. For I do watch over the righteous. So walk thou before me and be humble, saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Sister Mildred, the Lord is with thee. The Lord has seen your struggles. The Lord has seen your heartaches. And the Lord said that I'm going to bring a change within thee. And the Lord has put his will upon thee. And yet thou art determined to do his will in this hour. And thou shalt walk holy before the Lord. For I shall touch thy feet, and they shall go many places. I shall touch thy hands, and thou shalt put your hands to that which I command thee. And I shall touch thy lips to speak that which I've given thee. So rejoice in thy God and know that he's heard your cry, and that the enemy's back has been broken, saith the Lord, and that I do a work within thee in this hour. I'm calling you up higher, so come on up, saith the Lord. Come on, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord said, rejoice in him, and know that he pours strength into thy body. The Lord give us strength. Yea, the Lord give us strength. For I, the Lord, do put the belt and girdle of truth upon thy loins this day. I, the Lord, do push back the work of the enemy. I, the Lord, do bring deliverance to thy tabernacle. I, the Lord, do surround thee with my presence and with my glory, saith the Lord thy God. So rejoice in thy God and know that I've heard your cry, that I've heard your petition. Yea, your petition has come up before me, and I've heard the cry, and I have bottled up your tears, saith the Lord thy God. For surely in this hour I shall quicken thy hearing, and thou shalt hear the voice of the Lord thy God behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk you in it when you turn to the left and when you turn to the right. Surely my hand is outstretched to you. My love does reach out to thee, and I bring you up out of the pit. I bring you up out of the pit, and I set your feet in this hour on the solid rock. And yea, I shall establish your going, and that way is me, the Lord. Come on, praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord said, look behind you no longer. That which is behind is over. It's done. It's consumed. It's a new day. It's a new time for you. And the Lord said, rejoice in him. For I, the Lord, would say again, it's a new day. It's a new time. And your feet shall go places that I shall direct thee. Thine eyes shall see things that you have not seen. And your ears shall hear things you have not heard. And I shall cause understanding to come into your heart. For truly my hand is upon thee. Come on, praise him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord said, rejoice in him. And again, I say rejoice. For surely the Lord thy God is with thee. He doth surround thee with his angels. He doth surround thee with his presence. I have watched over thee. I have protected thee. And I shall keep thee, saith the Lord. Man that would follow man would fall in the ditch. But the Lord said, follow me, and thou shalt not fall in the ditch. But thou shalt be protected and kept as your eye is single and upon me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise.
Hallelujah. 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 The Lord does help you. The Lord does move things for you. And the Lord shall bring deliverance to your heart. The Lord shall bring deliverance to your tabernacle. For I have seen your struggle, your inner struggle, saith the Lord. But I, the Lord, am the God that healeth. Yea, I shall take sickness from the midst of thee. I shall strengthen thy inner man, and I shall strengthen thy body, and I shall cause your back to be strong in me. For surely I've said in my word that a person that puts his hand in the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom. And the Lord says to thee, put your hand in the plow and look not back. Do not be like Lot's wife that will look back, but look to me, and I'll bring thee through the storms. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Let's praise him. Come on, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord said, Linda, there is a change coming, and it will be some distance from now. But the Lord said, there is a turning, there is a change in the winter season. In the winter time, there will be a change coming in your life, but it's for the good. And the Lord said that thou art to remain in this place that I put thee. But there is coming a change in the time of winter. But the Lord also said that that direction shall come. It shall be confirmed by others. And know that the Lord shall do a mighty work in and through thee in this hour. For truly thou hast been steadfast in the Lord. And yet the Lord has seen the heartaches and the hurts. But I shall heal your hurts. And I shall pour in the oil. I shall pour in the wine. For I am the Lord again that healeth thee. So rejoice in me and know that that turn, that change will come in the time of winter. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jean, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And the Lord has anointed thee to pray and to seek his face. The Lord's intercession shall become stronger upon thee. For thou hast been called to intercede and cry out for the lost as well as for the church. And the Lord is going to take you into his closet, into the prayer chambers in this hour. He's going to reveal himself to thee. He's going to show his heart to your heart, his mind to your mind. And you're going to know that God reigneth. And you're going to intercede, the Lord says, for many in this hour. And as you cry out for many, know that I shall bless thee. And I shall cause you to inherit the land. And I shall not forget you, nor your children, as you forget not me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's praise him today. Come on, let's praise our Jesus. Let's praise our Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord said he wants to put wisdom within thee. And the Lord said there is the gift of the word of wisdom that he desires to impart to your heart at times. And so he shall put that wisdom within thee at a time of need. So the Lord says, rejoice in him. Walk uprightly before him, because I've heard your cry, and the wisdom of the Lord that you need in that hour shall be granted and given unto thee. For surely the Lord thy God, as it was upon Jonah's hand, it's upon thee, and his love is within thee, and I mature thee, and I bring thee up, but I impart my wisdom to thee. Hallelujah. Come on, praise it. Come on, praise it. Let's praise it. I want this little sister right here. Yes, would you come out? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord shall visit thee in the night season with dreams. He shall show you things in your heart and things to come. And as you rejoice in him and lift him up and praise him, then these things shall increase. And thou shalt know that the Lord has not only touched your heart, but he's touched your physical eyes this day, saith the Lord. For I am with thee to help thee and to encourage thee. For I am with thee in the night season, and I shall visit thee and show you those things to come, saith the Lord. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. Let's praise him. Come on, praise Jesus. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Jack, praise the Lord. Brother Jack, the Lord said that he's pleased with thee, and that his strength is within thee, and that he puts his inner strength in this hour within thee to do the will of God. And the Lord said, as you go forth, my son, then thou shalt be strengthened with the Almighty. Thou shalt be strengthened within as well as without. And the Lord shall take away, but yet the Lord shall add. For the Lord thy God is pleased with thee, my son. For thou hast run the race, yea, of the footmen as well as the horsemen. And know that the Lord thy God shall truly bring thee across in this hour. The Lord thy God shall cause you to inherit the land. The Lord shall give you your inheritance, for surely I do speak unto thee, my son. And know that in this hour I'm going to show you some new things. I'm going to cause you to hear some new things. And I'm going to reveal myself to you in a new way, saith the Lord thy God. So rejoice and know, my son, that I'm going to visit thee with my visitation. Come on, praise him. Praise him. Come on, praise him. Praise him. Praise him today. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give the Lord glory. Come on, give him. Praise Jesus. Give glory. Give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just keep worshiping him a moment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify your name, O Lord. We glorify your name, O Lord. Praise. Lift him up, lift him up, lift the name of Jesus higher. Lift him up, raise your voices to the sky. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw. Up. Oh, ye people, lift him up. Sing that again. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift the name of Jesus higher. Lift him up. Raise your voices to the sky. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Lift him up, oh, ye people, lift him up. Lift him up, him up. Lift the name of Jesus higher. Lift him up.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.